Today's message, the power of hope. The power of hope. The world implies hope to mean that something will automatically happen or magically happen. Poof, it's there. And let me give you a little bit of example of this, because we'll say things like this, and we'll say, well, I hope it doesn't rain today. Well, are you just hoping that magically it just will happen or automatically happen just because you hoped it? Another thing, like somebody will ask a question, are you going to get a check from the government this year? I sure hope so. You know, I hope so. See, we're using the term in wishful thinking. And it's important that we get our minds wrapped around the biblical definition and what the Bible means by hope rather than what the world means by hope. I hope to turn your world upside down. No, I hope to turn your world right side up. Because the world has it upside down, and we kind of listen to them too much, so we need to turn our world right side up and understand. Now, why is hope so precious to us? Why is it so important? Well, how do you fight off depression? How do you fight off loneliness? How do you fight off that sense of not belonging or just no purpose in your life? Through hope. Has any of you ever experienced depression? Being sad about things for an extended period of time? Have you ever felt lonely? You miss your spouse, your loved ones that have gone on before you that you no longer can see or talk to anymore? You have that sense of loneliness? Or you feel like you're just existing, just sitting here waiting to die. You know, I don't really have a purpose. I'm just here until he takes me home. The way we combat those feelings is through hope. Hope is very important. Biblical hope is more than just wishing or thinking optimistically. An idea of good hope, something that you think I can do, maybe I can really just have a positive attitude. Well, a positive attitude's a good thing. It's good to be optimistic. It's definitely not good to be a pessimistic, right? But being optimistic or having a good outlook on things is not going to make things automatically happen just because you think good. It definitely will help, I promise you. But that's not what the word is talking about when it uses the word hope. It's more than just a positive attitude. That's not going to guarantee anything. Evil thoughts are often referred to in the Bible as imaginations. And a lot of times we'll use this in a negative context, especially, when we talk about our children, they have a very vivid imagination, because they play with friends that aren't there. They build houses that you can't see. They play with cars that they think are going somewhere. They're vivid imagination. And we don't get onto them for doing that, do we? We don't chastise them because, well, what are you pretending for, make-believing for? That's stupid. We don't tell our children that. We encourage their imagination. It's something that God has given us. Good thoughts in the Bible are called hope. Now, both of them are thoughts. So we're dealing with our thoughts. Let's look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we use the world's terms of hope in this sense, he's just saying, hey, good luck, wish well, wish you well, hope you well, But when we sit here and look at the Greek word for hope, it actually means expectation, trust, confidence, to anticipate, or to welcome. So when we look at this and read it, may the God of hope, may the God of trust fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. That's where our joy and peace is going to come from, trusting in him. So that you may overflow with confidence. That's another word for hope, confidence. That you can overflow with confidence by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, if we get into thinking like the world, all we can at best do is be superstitious. We just think things are going to magically happen or luckily happen. But true hope is tied to faith. In fact, let's look at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not the evidence of things you can see, but the evidence of things you cannot see. I like the way the Amplified Version puts this. So we're going to read Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, meaning the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Do you understand how that faith is important and that hope is important? When people pass away, we mourn, but we don't mourn as those who have no hope, because we know we're going to get to see them again. There's an expectation, and this is very crucial to our understanding. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth unto this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons. Let's stop here for a second. Make sure you understand that. You realize that we've been adopted into the kingdom of heaven. We are adopted children. Okay? Now, none of us, right at this moment, are in heaven. We're here on earth. But we are hoping and expecting to go to heaven. So what do we do in the meantime? We wait patiently. But waiting patiently doesn't mean just to sit there and, well, you know, okay, anytime you take me, I'm ready to go here. I'm waiting on you. That's usually what we have in mind when we think about it, you know. We always put it off on God. Okay, I'm waiting on you. Anytime now. I mean, but that's not what biblical hope means. Verse 24. Let me finish verse 23. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as son, the redemption of our bodies. We're already redeemed. Now we're waiting on the redemption of our bodies. Verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no more hope at all. For who hopes for what he can already see? But if we hope for what we do not yet see, we wait for it patiently. Now, this is not a fun topic for us. Our society today has become the microwave society, the instant gratification. We're ready for it, and we're ready for it now. I mean, well, think about it. Why else do we take medication? Why else do we take pills? Can God heal us of a headache? Yeah, but it's a lot faster to take an aspirin, isn't it? And we don't have to wait on him. And if you'll stop and think about it, really, we're just putting off the inevitable. We still have to trust God, right? But by taking the pill, a pill's only temporary. If it wasn't temporary, you wouldn't have to keep taking them, would you? Right? If they fixed and cured you, You wouldn't need to take another one. You'd be done. And even if the pill did fix you, you'd go around bragging on that pill. You'd say, man, this pill's worth its money. They are charged twice as much. This is a good pill. You wouldn't give God the credit. See, we need to look at who we have hope in. Who do we put our trust and our confidence in? Who is it? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Now, what this is taking an extraction from Hebrews, where it's talking about Jesus is our high priest. He goes behind the veil. He separates and rents the veil, in fact, making us be able to commune with God one-on-one. But it says that we have hope. Our hope is an anchor for our soul. Now, what is our definition of soul? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our anchor is for our mind and our will and our emotions is in hope. If not, our mind begins to wander. Without an anchor, you'll drift around not knowing what's going to happen next. You know, you may not know how the winds of time are going to blow, but you do know who is your provider. And that with it gives you a confidence and a peace. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know how the winds of adversity are going to blow against my life, but I know who I'm anchored in. Let them blow. It doesn't matter if the storms come. I know who's my God. I know who's providing for me. I know who's protecting me. So there's where my anchor holds firmly. In fact, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. That henceforth we be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the wickedness of men, by cunning craftiness, by which they lie in wait to deceive. Now, the Bible many times will tell you, Jesus in fact said, suffer the little children to come to me, except you come as a little child, except you receive the kingdom as a little child. So there's a difference between being childlike and childish. Now, a lot of people know people who are childish. They never grew up. They're still acting childish. They throw temper tantrums and fits and all this. And this is where the Bible's coming in here and said, look, you know, I don't want you to be easily deceived. I don't want you to believe everything that everybody tells you. In fact, a little child, that's one of the things about little kids, they're gullible. They'll believe almost anything you tell them. And so you can deceive a little child. But God is not wanting us to be deceived. So he uses this term, every wind of doctrine. That's why we got to have our anchor secure. Now, this word doctrine in the Greek means teaching as it applies to lifestyle. Now, I want to bring that more to your current event of today. What do you hear today said so much? You hear the word on TV all the time, ideology, their agenda, their narrative. See, and that's just talking about their lifestyle. But we can't let the world dictate and narrate to us how to believe. Our hope is in Christ and must be always centered in him. Psalm 130 and verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. I put my confidence. I put my trust. I put all my expectations in his word. So everything, all the thoughts that we come up with have to be rooted and grounded, anchored in the word. That's where we find our anchor. You never wait for something you don't expect. Think about that for a minute. If you buy something online and they're going to send it to you in the mail, you've already paid the price for it and you're expecting it and you're looking for it and you're waiting on them to send that to you. Every day you'll wonder, where is that package at? Where is that thing I bought? Why haven't they sent it yet? I'm wondering where that thing is. I'm expecting it. But if you never got online, never shopped, never bought anything, then you wouldn't be expecting anything. In fact, if somebody said, oh, well, somebody's going to send you something. Oh, they are. What? Oh, I don't know, but somebody's going to send you something. Well, you'd look at them and say, I'm not going to wait around for that. I don't expect it. So realize that there has to be an expectation, a hope, for us to wait for something. Romans 5 and 5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. We know that faith, hope, and love are all three tied together so much. If we read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it says, but the greatest of these is love, because faith works by love. So it's all intertwined of how we are to hold our trust and our confidence, because God is love and he loved us. So we can trust him because he loves us. Disappointment comes by losing hope or trust and allowing doubt and unbelief to come into our thoughts. That's where our depression comes from. We lose hope. We lose our confidence. We lose our trust. Well, I thought God was going to do this. I thought God was going to do that. Well, I wish he would do this. And I wished I was on in heaven right now. I'm just tired of being here on earth. And you start getting depressed. The problem here is your self-image. How do you see yourself? When you look in the mirror, or when you're sitting there and you're thinking about yourself, how do you vision yourself? How do you see yourself? How do you have a self-image? Now, image is where we get imagination from. How do you imagine yourself to be? There is a healthy imagination you must have. Healthy based on the Word of God. Paul prays this prayer for the Ephesians. But I'm asking you, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as old, lonely, depressed, no purpose, just sitting around waiting to die? Or do you see yourself full of life, experience and happiness, joyful, used by God? See how important self-image is? Here's what Paul is praying over the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding. Now, what are we talking about when we say the eyes of your understanding? We're talking about mentally seeing here. We're not talking about seeing with your physical eyes. We're talking about a mental picture. Being enlightened. Now, think about this mental picture for just a moment. Think up here. Think about this mental picture for just a moment. Okay? The mental picture. When I say the word, hello, up here. Thank you. Now I got your attention. None of y'all going to look if somebody walks up the door. It's okay. Pay attention. Focus. There we go. So when I say the word apple, you have a mental picture of a round thing. You don't have a mental picture of A-P-P-L-E. I say apple. You may be thinking red apple, bright, shiny, and then I say green apple. And then your mental picture changes and you're visualizing a green apple. Why are you visualizing a green apple? Because you've seen one before. You know what one looks like. So you have a mental picture before words were ever written. We spoke and we gave mental pictures and we told people and communicated. That's how we communicate, is through mental pictures. So we use our imagination. If I ask you now, all right, how are you going to get from here to the dining hall? You can even close your eyes. Now, you're not going to see it, but you can tell me, and you'll be picturing in your mind, okay, you go out this door, all right, and you're going to have to turn left, go down to the end of the hall, and you'll have to make another left. You can tell me exactly how to get there because you've been there before, and you have a mental picture. So that's how we think. And here, Paul is praying over the Ephesians that their eyes, the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that their mental seeing, their mental picture would be enlightened, that they may know. And in fact, this word know in the Greek is talking about a mental picture. Have you ever said, oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I see what you mean by that. I see what you mean. You don't literally see what somebody means, but you get the mental picture. You get the understanding. And this is exactly what the Bible is talking about, that you may know what is the hope, the expectation, the confidence of his calling. And he wants you also to know, to have a mental picture of what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Who's that? That's you and I. And he also wants us to know and have this mental picture, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's you and I. The fullness of him that fills all in all. Romans chapter 8. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Do you understand? Sometimes I don't even think we've gotten to the conqueror stage. We hadn't even seen ourselves as a conqueror, let alone more than a conqueror. I mean, that's good. Not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. That's who you are. Because you are a child of the King, not a pauper. You have value. You are worth something. You can endure anything if you can see victory ahead. But if all you see is failure, then you will lose hope and give up. You've got to see yourself as a victor. You got to see yourself as winning, not losing. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also bring to life your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Now, Jesus told us. He said, the whole reason I came is that you might have life and have it abundantly. He's not just wanting you to live or just to exist. He's wanting you to have abundant life. That's in John 10:10. It's good for us to read scripture. It's good for us. That's where our anchor holds. I don't want just life. I don't want to live like the world. I want to have abundant life. Do I see myself as having abundant life? The times I don't, I have to talk to myself. You ever talk to yourself? Well, what do you say when you talk to yourself? Oh, you stupid. Oh, you forget everything. I can't believe. Why do you do this? And boy, some of the way, you know, the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. And the way some of you talk to yourself, hey, don't love me, okay? Because y'all talk mean to yourself. What are you thinking on? What are you dwelling on? How do you see yourself? You're not using your imagination for the good. You're using it for the evil, an evil imagination. Because you're not imagining yourself as a victor. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as sick? Even when you have pain? Or do you see yourself as healed, as well, as healthy, as whole? And this is just a temporary thing. I'm expecting. This is not who I am. I'm not sick. I'm well. That's who I am. I'm abundant life. I'm not Mr. Sick. So I see myself as well, and this is just a temporary setback. This is just, it's got to go. And I imagine myself doing what I couldn't do as a sick person. So I start doing those things. Because I want to act like a well person. I don't want to act like a sick person. How's a sick person act? They sit around and grump and groan, and every time you get near them, they, oh, don't touch me. Oh, I hurt. I ache all over. And they want to give you their long list of ailments and their long list of what the doctor said. But a person who's well, they don't ever mention the doctor. A person who's feeling good, they're just all full of happiness and joy and peace, and they're laughing and smiling. That's the kind of person you want to hang around, right? What is your self-image? See yourself well. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in this flesh, we do not war after the flesh, or in the flesh, or like the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal weapons, but they are mighty through God, not of ourselves, but through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Bad imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? The Word of God. So we got to cast down every thought, every imagination that comes up against the Word of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here, when we read that word imagination, in the Greek, it's talking about to reckon. It's talking about thoughts. To reach a personal opinion. To see with your mind. You can never exhaust God's plans for you. You can only limit them by your small thinking. It all begins with His Word. According to His Word, you're already an overcomer. So get your eyes off of the problem and on the Word. Get up and start overcoming. That's who He said you are. So start seeing yourself as an overcomer. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now let's go back to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith. Faith is our victory. Now faith is the substance of things that we expect. It's the evidence of the things we don't see. It's our confidence. How did it say it here in the Amplified Version? Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. What are we going to trust? What are we going to put our confidence in? We're going to have to put it in the Word of God. Faith is believing in what you cannot see with your eyes, but can see in your thoughts and your imaginations according to his word. Look at Mary, for example, the mother of Jesus. And here she is, a virgin. She's never known a man. Yet the angel of the Lord come and told her, you're going to conceive and bear a son. She couldn't see herself before as having a child without a man. How can this be? I've never known a man. This is not normal. This is not natural. My body can't do that. It's got to have a man. That's the thinking of the world. But what did Mary say? Mary said, be it done unto me according to thy word. That is where you and I have to get. When we read something in the scriptures, by his stripes we were healed. We have to grab a hold of that and imagine ourselves healed, because his word told us we are healed. I don't feel healed. Mary didn't feel pregnant. But she said, be it done unto me according to your word. Now I'm looking at the word of God and saying, by his stripes I am healed. Be it done unto me according to your word. That's what I believe. That's what I see myself as. That's who I am. I'm not sick. I'm well. I'm not defeated. I'm a victor. I'm an overcomer. I have purpose. You have purpose. The reason you're not in heaven right now is because you hadn't fulfilled your purpose, your usefulness to God. There's still something for you to do. Well, Mark, I don't know what to do. Get in the Word. That's where you're going to get the information. You're not going to get it from anybody else. Get in the Word. Read it and read it, and all of a sudden the Word will start coming out of you. You'll start saying things according to the Word. It's real funny. My wife has a sister that is not walking close with the Lord at all. We'll put it mildly and say it that way. And Heidi will try to put in scriptures in there everywhere she can. She'll just kind of sneak them in there in their conversations with each other. And normally it's a little bit of standoffish and, you know. But now, over the years, her sister's starting to repeat them back to her. Well, the Bible says you reap what you sow. Heidi's been sowing those seeds. And see, you continue to sow seeds. You continue to sow the Word of God. You continue to be useful. You have purpose. Use your imagination that God gave you to get into this Word and see yourself as He sees you, not as the world sees. Let's bow our heads. Father, I am grateful that your word is so packed full of hope. Thank you for the confidence that we have in you, that you gave us your written word and told us you would never leave us nor forsake us. You've given us the ability to see ourselves as the Word says we are, rather than as we feel and as our eyes see. Thank you for that. We thank you for health and healing. We thank you for your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.